good. If you hang out at Heart and Soul long enough, you'll learn a new language. I've learned a few things I could say in my Sudanese brothers and sisters will probably correct me and cringe when I say this, but I would say Ewatata Montamo. And I would say, which I believe means good morning, is that correct? Good morning to you. And also, Algarundum es porque a mí, which I believe means God bless you. And of course, we can say in Spanish, Dios te bendiga. And today we say to all of you today, God bless you. We're glad that you're here. You're in the right place. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray as we look into the Word of God together. Father God, thank you for your presence in this house. Thank you for being with us today. We tell you that we need you. We tell you that we are lost without you. Thank you for your love and for your grace. God, thank you that you are a God big enough to handle every circumstance in this house. So every person that brings a burden, brings a concern, brings trouble, you are big enough to handle every person's burden. Your word says, cast all of your cares upon the Lord, because the Lord cares for you. And so this morning, even as we begin, we figuratively take the burden that is on our shoulders, and we lay it at your feet, and we surrender it to you, and we thank you that you are working things out, things that we cannot even see, things that we not even know. But thank you, God, we surrender it to you. I ask that you would stand in this, my body, that you would think with my mind, that you would speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice. It's graduation season. We just had a family whose son is graduating here. That's why they had to leave. But what a joy that graduations mean new seasons, right? It means a different time frame, a different set of circumstances are going to come to pass. And so we're excited about the new seasons that the Lord has for us. Speaking of new seasons, someone called me just last week and asked me to come and speak at a class of seniors in a city's high school. And they asked me to come and just talk to them about resources that they could have as they graduate from high school into the rest of their life. And so I speak for a living. I speak to you every week. You guys are gracious enough to allow me to share some words with you on a weekly basis. And I speak in different scenarios. I've been even a youth pastor. But there was something about this that made me a little nervous, because I was not talking to a Christian group, right? Mm-hmm. A group that already was in tune with what I was about. The teacher just said, I'm like, are you sure you want me to come? Me? Like, yeah, I think it would be great. You know, we've had different people come in this week from different places, from work, from professions, even different faiths that have talked about different things. And we want you to come as a pastor in the city to let them know what are some, what she called, spiritual resources available to them. And I'm like, okay, what are spiritual resources? I'm asking her. And she's like, oh, what I mean by that is such and such. So I just want you to come and share. But I will admit to you that I was nervous about it. And here's why I'm talking about that. There are some big capital B problems in this world. We just prayed over one of them. Amen? And this is a big, there's war, there's all kinds of stuff going on. If you follow the news, there's always some crazy thing happening in national politics and arguments and lies and cover-ups and all kinds of stuff going on. Those are kind of big things, but you and I also have our problems, right? You have things that we experience on a daily basis. I don't know what yours are, but every day there's some things that come our way. Some things are just normal. We work, we go to school, we do what we have to do. But on this particular day, which happened to be this last Friday, I was asked to come and speak to high school seniors, city class, have at it. Yeah, praise God. And she's fine because she didn't hear what I said at the meeting. So.
I'm definitely a teacher.
Oh, because you're a teacher. There you go. Okay, thank you. Amen, amen. Teachers in the house, we love all of you teachers, God bless you. And this teacher was wonderful. But I just remember thinking, God, I need your help because, you know what I'm saying? Let me steal this chair here. I'm talking about, I'm going into a class, right? And every teacher will know this, so I kind of chuckle. But I'm going to a class, and you know, you guys look nice, right? You dressed up for church, and you look like you're here, and you know that I'm speaking, so you're being very gracious. And at least, if not, you're faking it, okay? You're faking it very well. But kids, high school senior city, they're like, you know what I'm saying? So I get to speak to them. I'm like, God, please help. Help me out. I need some direction. You ever been in a circumstance where you need to do something? Maybe it's awkward. Maybe it's a financial thing. Or you need to have a difficult conversation with a family member. Or you need to do something. It just feels awkward. You're going in. You don't know what that's going to be received like. That's what I felt like. But I cried out to God before. I cried out to God during. And by God's grace, we had a great time. I was able to share with them testimony. I was able to mention Jesus. And kids asked me questions. Listen. Even some of those same kids that were like, whatever. At the end, they asked me a question like this. Listen to this. This is a teenager. He has this question. What made you choose Jesus? What made you choose Christianity? And I had an opportunity to just simply share a little bit about my story. Can I just tell you something? When somebody asks you a question like, why Jesus and why Christianity, this is not so effective. I want to tell you what is not as effective. Okay, you know why? Just because the Bible says this here, and it says here, and I have all this knowledge about the Bible, and I know stuff, and I just believe that because all this stuff, it's got to be true. Boom, there you go. Next question. That could be effective in some circles, but most of the time, it's not as effective as, here's why I chose Jesus. Because I was in trouble, and I cried out to him, and he helped. And he changed me. And the reason why I talk about Jesus and I share Jesus is because he's been so good to me. He has changed my life. His word has impacted me in such a way. I'm a different person. That's why I have chosen him. And I believe in Jesus till my grave. And I even said this. I'm willing to stake my faith in Christ is so strong that I'm willing to go to the grave with it. I believe Jesus will help me even after I die. I said that out loud. In a city school class. And we had some great conversations. Can I just say this? You never know who is open to the things of Jesus in your life. You never know who is open. Because the same people that seem, that same kid, one of those same kids, was the one who was asking me, why did you choose Jesus? I want to talk today about living a victorious life. I want to talk to you today about bringing a victorious life in your family, in your work, wherever you go, if you're a student, in school. How do you live a victorious life with God? How do you become a champion for God in the midst of those circumstances, even when you have capital T trouble or little t troubles on a daily basis? How can we live a victorious life in God? Are you ready? If you have a Bible, I want you to open up the book of Philippians chapter 4. If you don't, that's okay. We will try to have some of those scriptures on the screen as we go. But if you don't have one of these, please raise your hands. I have notes for you to fill in and some things that will help you throughout the time. So if you don't have notes, just raise your hand and somebody will get them to you. Okay? Praise God. Whether you're speaking to a classroom of high school seniors from the city, who don't seem interested in what you have to say, whether you're struggling with an addiction, whether you're struggling with a family situation, you have a financial issue, no matter what, I believe the scriptures and God wants to help us to live a victorious life today. The first scripture I'm going to read, which is right there on your sheet, says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. rejoice. And the first point that I want to say, talk about today, is I must let joy be my constant companion. I must let joy be my constant companion. There are people who allow different kinds of things into their lives on a daily basis. Some people's companion is depression. Some people's companion is anger. You might don't know anybody like this, but there are some people in my family, some people in my acquaintances and even my friendships, who every time I talk to them, I know before I talk to them, they're going to complain about something. Because wherever they go, they have a complaint. You know anybody like that? I went to the office, I'm complaining about my boss. I'm going to school, I'm complaining about who I'm going to school with. This is what's going on with my kids or with my family. I'm complaining. And their constant companion is complaining. And the Lord would say here in the scriptures, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I'll say it again in case you missed it. Rejoice. Let joy be your constant companion. Let joy be your constant companion. I looked up a great definition of joy. Pastor Rick Warren, who wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, who we've talked about before here, says this is a definition of joy. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. It's the quiet confidence that ultimately everything, everyone say everything, is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of your life and my life. It's a quiet confidence that ultimately He's in control of things, and it's a determined choice. Everyone say choice. It's a determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Listen. Joy is not everything is fine, I'm going to pretend like everything is fine. This group knows all about sorrow. We've been praying for what's happening in Sudan. You know that we lost our dear Pastor Joanne several years ago, tragically. This group knows about pain and sorrow. Joy is not something that you experience only in the good times, but even with pain and sorrow, I can choose to praise God in every situation. I've shared with you my personal testimony that when I lost Pastor Joanne, one of the things that God told me to do, I was still in the hospital. We were still in the middle of the suffering. I thought I was losing my mind. In that room, God says to me, I want you to worship me. And I said, God, I can't worship you. I'm in pain. God, I can't worship you. I'm sad. God, I can't worship you. I'm losing this woman whom I love. And God says, I want you to, in the midst of this thing, I want you to choose to lift up the name of God. And I remember still that I put on a worship song from Pandora, and I just put it on, and I didn't even know what it was going to be, and this song started ministering to me as I started saying, God, I need you, God, I love you. And this song ministered to my heart and reminded me that this world is not our ultimate home, that eternity still awaits. And that the God that we serve is in control, not just of your life now and today, but of eternity. Amen? I must let joy, and even in that moment, God was bringing, again, joy is not everything is fine. Joy is, I know that no matter what, God is going to see me through this. That no matter what, God is with me. And I'm going to trust Him. I told the kids this on Friday. I had to make a choice because I told them a little bit about my story and my testimony. I had to make a choice after losing her. I had to choose, am I really going to believe what I've been preaching? Do you know? Maybe you don't know. That it is sometimes easier to preach something than to what? Than to practice it, than to live it. Man, I got to do it? I can't just talk about it? I gotta actually be patient with my kids. I have to actually forgive people when they hurt me. I have to actually live this stuff out. I have to actually live a sacrificial life. I have to actually surrender my thoughts to God, allow Him to purify my heart. I have to actually do this stuff. I have to choose, am I going to believe what this book says about death, life, and eternity? Or am I going to go and drink myself to death, drug myself to oblivion, forget life, do whatever, because I just want to forget the pain? God can meet you in the middle of whatever you're going through. Let joy be your constant companion. Amen? The scripture goes on to say, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Let everyone see. So I must let everyone see the change. And here's all I will say about this, loved ones. I cannot fake God out. You know what a fake is? A fake is something that seems to be what?
Real
or genuine, but it's actually not. An original diamond is very valuable. A fake diamond seems from afar to be valuable, but when you get close to it and you study it, you realize it's a fake. It's not real. And here's what I'm going to say about this. Jesus died on the cross. And those of us who have said yes to Jesus have accepted him into our life. And here's what I'll say about this. That has to make a difference in the way that we live. That has to make a difference in the way that I live. I cannot say Jesus is Lord and live like the devil. I cannot say I love Jesus and live a life that goes contrary to him. Now, let me just say this. All of us,
it's nice I don't have to yell that much, huh? There you go. All of us struggle with something, right? We all struggle with things. So what I'm talking about right now is not be perfect, don't struggle with anything. Because if that's the case, then you should just put your Bible down or whatever you came with, or pick up your bag and go. Because we all got stuff. And if we're supposed to come to God perfect, then we got problems. We all have things. I'm not talking about perfection, but here's what I am talking about. On a daily basis, God, I want to honor you. I may fail, I may stumble, I may suffer through it, but my heart desire is to honor you. And little by little, as I look into your word, as I pray, as I gather with other believers, I start changing. I stop lying. I stop cursing. I start forgiving people genuinely. Little by little, I start becoming patient. I used to scream at people who angered me and gave them a piece of my mind. But God, little by little, is doing a work in my heart. And so now self-control is coming. So now it's different. I used to sleep around. Now I can't do that because God is calling me to a higher call. I used to allow my mind to roam through all these things. But now my mind, God is calling me to think different thoughts. All I'm saying is those of us who come to Jesus must start changing. There is a change. Not perfection, but there is a change. And we must allow everyone to see the change. People should be able to see it. If you're following Christ and you're still cursing like you used to, you're still lying like you used to, you're still doing all this stuff like you used to, listen to me. If you're honestly asking God to help you, that is the key in your heart on a daily basis. God, transform me by your spirit. Lead me. Not perfection. Amen? Now you've seen the bumper sticker, right? I am not perfect. I'm just what? Forgiven. That's our story. That's what we have to say. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. Let everyone see the change that is happening inside of us. Number three, I must not forget that Jesus is coming back. I must not forget that Jesus is coming back. If we want to have a victorious life, we've got to remember that our Lord is coming back for us. And when he comes back, he's not going to come back and say, excuse me, Mr. President, or excuse me, Russian ruler, Chinese ruler, excuse me, leaders of the world, would you allow me to... No. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says he's going to come from heaven, and the angel will shout, and every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. And at that moment, there'll be no more excuses. It's, oh my goodness, it's real. It's Jesus.
But listen, for us who have a relationship with him, this is our great hope. Jesus is coming back for us. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back. He's not leaving us by ourselves. I must not forget that Jesus is coming back. It's a key to victory in our daily life, to allow joy to be our companion, to let everyone see the change, transformation. Do not forget that Jesus is coming back. Don't worry about anything, then the scripture says. You've heard this before. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Number four, I must not allow worry to be my constant companion. I must not allow worry. I want joy to be my constant companion, but I must not allow worry to be my constant companion. All I will say about that is I have family members, people close to me, who no matter what I say to them, they are worried about something. We're going to the mall. Be careful when you drive. A lot of crazy drivers out there. We're going to one of those little places, parks that have the little water things that shoot up in the air. Be careful. That water can be contaminated. Don't let the kids drink that. Splash park, thank you. No matter what, they're worried all the time. I know that's not you. Praise God. My encouragement is this. Don't let worry be your constant companion. Number five, I must surrender to God through prayer. Everyone say surrender. Surrender. Oh, surrender is great, you guys. It's great. It's great. Surrender to God. If you're struggling with something, you can surrender it to God. And listen, what happens when you surrender to God is he starts fighting your battle for you. I don't know about you, but if I had a financial crisis, and I had to choose between me fighting that financial crisis or Bill Gates fighting that financial crisis, I would say, Bill, you got a little more money than I do, just a little bit. You can have more influence and more power in this financial circumstance than I can because you got a lot more money. So go ahead and take care of it. I am surrendering to you. No matter what you're going through, if it's an addiction, if it's a circumstance, even as we're praying for the Sudan. Listen, there's nothing that we can physically do right now, right, to fix the problem. Are you with me? We can't do it. So we have to cry out to the one who can do something about it. And so we surrender and say, God, I give this to you. Sometimes people get so worried and so worked up and so stressed and so anxious that they run to the bottle, they run to drugs, they run to other destructive things that are going to bring them down because they want to escape. And my encouragement to you today is surrender to God through prayer. Because when we pray, we're acknowledging, I need someone else to help me out. I can't do it myself. And number six, I must confirm that surrender. I must confirm it through thanksgiving. I'm going to invite Sister Christina to come up. She's going to share a testimony of things that God has taught her concerning this topic of thanksgiving. And I asked her last week to do it, so please share with us. Let's welcome her as she comes one more time, please. Thank you.
Hello. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
So my name is Christine, for those who don't know me, and I just want to share a little bit of my story as it relates to today's sermon. So one thing about me is that throughout my life, I've struggled a lot with worry, with stress, and I give in very easily to anxiety. And my mother made me read over and over when I was little this verse that we're looking at today, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, particularly. I had to write it down, repeat it. In college, she would send it to me, but it just never seemed to stick. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So sometimes in my life, I've gotten so stressed that it's taken me to the point of sickness. And I remember my freshman year in college, stress made me so sick that I got shingles on the left side of my face. And the doctors were so confused because they said, we don't usually see this disease except in people who are a lot older, never in someone who's 18 years old. Luckily, I recovered from it. It left some nerve damage and some pain. But I asked God, I cried out to him and said, why would you make me such a type A personality and such a hard worker if I don't know how to deal with stress? So I asked him, how do you deal with the stresses and the pains of this life? A couple years ago, my sister gave me this book here. It's called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. And I never read it. I meant to, but I was so stressed I didn't have time. In this past summer, we were in Douro Refugee Camp, the place we're praying about today, Yasser and I. And I brought the book with me, and I had a lot more time. I wasn't so busy with work and different things, so I read the whole book. And I realized I should have read it a lot sooner. So the book starts with the question of what do we do with all the pain and our stresses in our lives. And I said, this is my question. This is perfect. And it talks about, it looks at Jesus first in his darkest hour, right before he's about to die. And it asks, what does he count as important in this moment? And Luke 22:19 says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them. The book highlights that Jesus gave thanks in his darkest hour. And the original language, the Greek for gave thanks, in that context is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo means thanksgiving. Charis means joy, kara means joy, and charis means grace. So in that one word, eucharisteo, you have thanksgiving, grace, and joy. The book teaches that joy is always possible, whenever, wherever, now, even here. We don't have to go to some exotic location or some emotional high place to experience joy in our lives. Joy that surpasses understanding and surpasses our darkest circumstances can be found in Christ. And the key to tapping into that joy is giving thanks in all things. And actually, ingratitude is related to the fall of man, the original fall. Because in the beginning, when Adam and Eve saw that they wanted to eat from the tree that the Lord said, don't eat from, we see humanity's discontent with all that God freely gives. Instead of thanking God for everything they could have, they wanted more of what they thought they desired. The book taught me that we only enter into the fullness of life if our faith gives thanks. Because how else do we accept his free gift of salvation, if not with thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is the evidence of our acceptance of whatever God gives, the good and the bad. Thanksgiving is the manifestation of our yes to his grace. So I'm learning, I haven't fully learned it, I'm always growing, I'm learning how to be thankful, whether empty or full, whether life is good or bad. Whether I know how things are gonna go at work, at home, in life. And what I want my life to reflect is later in that same chapter, that Philippians 4 that I wrote down so much as a child, verses 11 through 12 say, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. I pray that that could be my life's cry. The author of the book challenged herself to name the things that she was thankful for. And she said, in naming that which is right before me, that which I otherwise miss, the invisible becomes visible. So she started writing down things like her children's laughter, a parent's smile, a delightful breeze, small celebrations together, big celebrations together, like weddings, hot oatmeal that tastes like home. These small things that were invisible, but in her circumstances, she started to see that God gave her things to be thankful for. So the challenge of the book is for the readers to do the same thing, to write down 1,000 things that we are thankful for, a little bit every day. So maybe on some days, all I can say is, I'm thankful for salvation, or I'm thankful that I woke up this morning. But on other days, if I take the opportunity to actually look around me and not get so more down in the stress, I can see so many little pieces of grace that bring joy. So this brings me back to my personal story of asking God, what do I do with this stress? What do I do with this constant stress that tries to build up inside me? I can write down these things to be thankful for. This gives me the opportunity to think on God's goodness and to thank him for it, find joy in what he has given me, and not focus on the stress and pain. And like Pastor Lewis mentioned last week, and this is why I brought up this book to him, giving thanks is a remedy to stress. It's surprising when I give thanks how much everything I was stressed about suddenly seems less important. And the book says it well. Being in a hurry, getting to the next thing without fully entering into the thing in front of me. I cannot think of a single advantage I've ever gained from being in a hurry. But 1,000 broken and missed things, tens of thousands, lie in the wake of all the rushing. Through all that haste, I thought I was making up time. It turns out I was throwing it away. In a world addicted to speed, we blur the moments to be thankful for. They all blur together. I was blurring the moments, and I was making myself sick in the process. So wherever you are, be all there. And this is only possible in the posture of thanks. Slow down, taste life, give thanks for everything, and see God even in the difficulties.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Christine. Wonderful, wonderful words. I must let God's peace reign in me. I must let God's peace reign in me. As we give thanks, as we surrender to God, let joy be your constant companion. Let everyone see the change. Don't forget that Jesus is coming back. Don't allow worry to be your constant companion. Change. I must surrender to God through prayer. I want to confirm that surrender through thanksgiving. And that those beautiful words that were said, wow, that's powerful. What we miss when we're always getting to the next thing. And I must let God's peace reign in me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your peace. Thank you that you've given us a blueprint to live a victorious life. I pray that we would all experience what it means to allow joy to be our companion. Father, I pray that all of us would be changing and growing. Even as Sister Christine said, not perfect, but continuing to grow every day, God, that's our story. Help us to grow every single day, get closer to you, Lord Jesus. Let the people around us see the evidence of that. Help us not forget that you're coming back, Lord, that when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ is coming back. For every one of his sons and daughters. And every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the promise that you've given to us. God, we reject worry. We surrender to you through prayer. We give you thanks today. We allow your peace to reign in our hearts. So right now, every eye closed and head bowed, whatever it is that you're stressed about, that brings you anxiety, you know what it is, and God knows what it is. Just take it in your hand, kind of as a cup in front of you, to say, Lord, you see this situation. You see my trouble. You see my pain, my stress, my anxiety. And God, today, I'm bringing this to you. Just stretch out your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. I'm laying it at your feet. Lay it there in front of the Lord. Lord, do what I cannot do. I give you this anxiety, this stress, this worry, finances, addictions, broken relationships, war in my home country. My family members are being persecuted. God, I bring them to you. Oh, Jesus. Children, spouse relationship that is in turmoil, I bring them to you, Jesus. Lord, even now as we're bringing that to you, we receive your peace. We receive your peace. We exchange our sorrow, our shame, our pain for your joy and your peace. We trust you, Lord, to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful hot day. Be with us the rest of this week, God. Help us to live life for you. We commit to living a life for you, the Son of God, who gave his life for us. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Help us to live this out. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.